Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Great Mornings Podcast, man. It's Tuesday. Y'all already know what it is. Listen, make sure you let somebody know about this podcast. Make sure you share. This episode is about to be bananas. I got one of my big brothers with me today. I'm excited about this dude, Adrian A.D. Davis. I'm talking about, I don't even need to give this whole intro of him and give you all his information, because we'll be here all day if I had to do that. But this dude is an entrepreneur, best-selling author, a speaker, a shoe guru. I'm talking about a walking fashion statement, and a brother can draw too. If you ain't seen it, go to his Instagram page and just hit that one little link that says draw, and you'll see some dope art. I'm introducing to y'all today Adrian A.D. Davis, my brother, my friend, someone I've looked up to. I'm excited about this episode, so y'all, let's get ready.
Wake up to the roosters, eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your Uber. He tell mountains, get the moving. It's a great morning. Wake up, wake up. It's a great morning. Wake up, wake up. It's a great morning. Wake up, wake up. It's a great morning. Get up and go to that 9 to 5. Get up and get them dollar signs. Get up and go through overtime. Get up and put that overdrive.
Yo, AD, what's up, man?
What's up, my guy? What's up, man?
Man, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. How are you, man? How you been?
I'm good, man. I've been good, man. Listen, go ahead and tell the people who you are real quick. I tried to give an intro, but go ahead and tell the people who you are, man.
Yeah, man. So listen, man, I'm a regular guy. That's pretty much what I sum it up to. But man, I'm just a guy, man. I love clothes, love fashion. I love everything creative, man. Any opportunity that I have to be creative, that's me, man. But I'm an entrepreneur, philanthropist, man. Author, actor, you know, all of that now, man. So just jumping out there, man, just really, if you see behind me, if you guys are watching, I know some of you guys are listening, but it says commas behind me. That's who I am, man. I'm a comma, man. It's just more stuff, man, that's constantly being added.
And dude, you steady adding stuff. Listen, man, I got to go ahead and address it. I was blown away, man, when I got the news, right? I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, no. Yeah. I got a phone call like, hey, you heard Pastor AD? He's in LA now. I was like, stop, man. So listen, bro, I just got to go ahead. The whole podcast episode is transitioning a pandemic. So, man, let's go ahead and talk, man. What prompted the transition, bro?
Man, I'm going to tell you, man, one of the biggest things that prompted it, I'm not going to say it's the only thing, but one of the biggest things that prompted it, man, was I literally, you know, went through a string of deaths. You know, in 18 months, man, I lost my stepfather to kidney failure, lost my father to a car wreck, and then I lost my brother to lung cancer. And man, it just really got me thinking, you know, that life is so short, and how, the things that we desire to do and the things that we want to do, a lot of times, man, we say, oh, I'm praying about it as a deflection point where fear actually is. And so we'd be like, oh, I'm praying. And really the truth is we're just hoping that the desire either leaves or we're just afraid to try. And so, after that, man, I got off, I think I hit the 1 year mark, and then I got off of Instagram, and I took a year off of Instagram, I took a year and some months, but, I told God, like, I was going to take a year off to really decide what I was going to do next and really hear from him and not be swayed by my quote unquote obligation to people, you know. Because, man, when you're leading a church and you're leading a lot of people, man, you know, seeing their faces on social media, them constantly pulling at you, you feel like, well, they need me. So, I, you know, And a lot of times, man, in that seat, we can become so intoxicated with the people needing us that we forget that we need ourselves. And there's certain things that we want to do, call to do, should do, have a desire to do that we're not doing, you know. And I just made up my mind, man, like I knew I was going to move. I had listed 5 places. LA was not on the list.
Really?
At all, to be honest. No, man, I thought I was moving to Houston, to be honest. I was like, you know, I'm going to move to Houston and it's going to be good. And I was like, you know, I'm moving to Houston because in the back of my mind, I've always wanted to dive into acting. I always wanted to produce and be in entertainment industry and to produce content. But I didn't think I could, you know, honestly. I was like, you know, TV is something I watch, not something I'm on. You know what I'm saying? So then my business mentor, man, he actually just passed the COVID, man. And man, my business mentor told me, he said, you need to put LA on your list. And I was like, what? And I was like, man, LA too big. You know, I can't do LA, man. It's too big. It's too expensive. It's, you know, it's crazy.
It is.
And he told me, he said, his exact words was, man, LA ain't too big for you. You too big for LA. Don't be afraid. And I put it on the list, man. And I came out here to take a look. And man, it felt like, and I had visited LA before, you know, but this time, man, it just felt home. It felt like I belonged. It felt like I was supposed to be a part. It felt like it was some things that I was supposed to do that I hadn't done yet. And man, I just chose myself for a season, man. And really, I felt like God wanted it, and God led me to this place. I feel like God will use anything to put us in the lane of destiny. I feel like He'll use anything. And I think God chose to use grief to kind of get me there, you know what I'm saying, to initiate it. But I just felt like it was my time because, man, you know, it's very easy for people to step away from something that's not going their way, right? Like if you know, like if you're building a church and the church not going your way, or if the business, or you're in a city where things aren't working, or career, whatever it may be, it's easy to step away from that and be like, you know what, this ain't working, I'm falling back.
Right, but y'all was killing it though.
Killing it, you know what I'm saying? Like church thriving, business, you know, I got a shoe store, I own a shoe store out there, and you know, everything's going well, you know what I'm saying? So it was really no need for me to leave. It was no need. Right. It wasn't like it was, you know, wasn't like it was bad or things got, you know, difficult. It wasn't. And man, I said, but this is what succession looks like, man. If you're going to pass something on, don't pass it on when it's dead. Pass it on when it's alive, man. It's easy to let go of something when it's dead. You know, like, you know, I mean, even from a biblical standpoint where he says, you know, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That Romans 12, man. Like, it's like, yo, I want it while it's alive. Don't try to give it to me when it's dead and call it a sacrifice.
Wow.
You know, everything, like, you know, when they kill animals in the Bible as sacrifice, they killed them, but they brought them to them alive. Right. It showed like there's no defect in this. Nothing is wrong with this. It's alive and it's well. I'm sacrificing it. I could eat it, but I'm going to sacrifice it. Right. So that's what I was like, you know what? Like, I just got to do it, man. And I came out here and just, man, like in a matter of 3 months, got signed to an agency for acting, working on my first docuseries, got that trailer out kicking. Yeah, man. So, and man, really just making connections, man, and just chasing dream and acting class. But then also got my mentorship program running and, you know, training people and developing people, doing some social media branding. I launched my branding and marketing company, you know, man. Wow. So I'm really just stepping out there, bro. It for me, it was just either do it now or live in regret for a long time. And wow. I watched regret eat away in my father, man. I knew regret was in my bloodline, and I said I didn't want to do that.
Man, that's big. It's so crazy, man. Our stories are very similar, right? And for those that are listening, AD transitioned from, listen, when I say thriving ministry in Huntsville, Alabama, I'm talking about, man, I will come to worship sometime, and I still appreciate you letting me sell my book there, stuff like that. But I will come to worship. Yeah. And I would, you didn't know, I was picking up ideas. I was taking them back to Hazelhurst, giving them to our people, and we were just following and watching the ministry thrive, man. So I'm talking about from one service to three services, from a transition in the church where the enemy tried to stop you with that, to the church taking off a second time. So we watched, and now he's transitioned to LA. And it was very similar for me, man. I left Hazelhurst, church that I founded. Church was thriving, was growing. Financially, we was doing well. And then it was like God called me to the West Coast. I was like, California? Wow. You know what I mean? And here I am, man, hour and a half away from where you are in LA. But it's wow. just an incredible transition, man. Here's
dude,
the question.
Because like when I, yeah. Well, before you get to that question, man, I'm gonna congratulate you, bro. I mean, a lot of people, man, you know, man, sit in the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, man. And the fact that you, made that jump and you made that leap, man, that's major. So I don't want to overlook that, man, because a lot of times we can have a desire, a hunger for something, and just never do it. So, man, congratulations, bro. Oh, man, congratulations.
I appreciate it. It very similar to you, man. Like, I got other aspirations. Like, people don't realize, like, preaching and pastoring is the call. It ain't always the desire. You know what I mean? And I want to get into film and producing, man. I've been doing, like, short film stuff for a long time with preaching illustrations. Want to just expand, man. And I was encouraged the same way you were. They were like, man, if you're going to do it, you got to come to the West Coast. So I was like, man, that's what I'm going to do.
Yes, sir.
So it's very similar, man. For me, it's been a lot of ups and downs, man. It's been not just adjusting to the time zone, but just like the culture is different, especially church-wise. The culture is different.
Everything is different.
Listen, man. So talk to us. Tell us about some of the like the pros and cons, the highs, the lows, man. Some of the blessings and lessons that you've gotten so far.
Man, you know, LA, I mean, especially like, you know, when you're from the South, you know, it's just a, you know, it's just a mentality that comes with the South, man, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm seeing some benefits to that, but also seeing some negatives to that. Right. So a part of those benefits are, you know, we're very welcoming. We love, we have a genuine respect. There is a such thing as Southern hospitality, you know what I'm saying? And that's huge. And, but then there is a laziness that comes with being in the South, man. Is, you know, you get very complacent and comfortable being in the South. And, you know, one of the words that I got when I was only told like probably five people about me moving to LA. And before before people knew, I had been living in LA for 5 months before anybody knew.
That's crazy.
I was doing sermons because we was in a pandemic.
Right.
I was literally doing sermons via video. My church thought that I was still in Huntsville.
Wow.
Yeah, like because I was in the process of working with the successor that was coming and that was going to take my position and all of that stuff, man. But yeah, everybody thought like I was still in Huntsville. I was living in LA. And for a while on the weekends, I would fly back to Huntsville and record multiple sermons in Huntsville, fly back to LA and be in LA, you know, for weeks. But man, it's just LA is a different grind. It's a, you know, it's a different hustle. It's a not take it as it comes. We're going to create it, you know, and that is, you know, I think that is the underlying thing between either, you know, West Coast or East Coast. Like you go to New York, you know, it's very hustle and bustle. New York is faster than LA, you know, but LA is just more creative. And anything that you want to do in LA, it's there,
it's right
you know,
there.
Man. So like, I've always wanted to, you know, I wanted to do my podcast and, you know, do all of that stuff. And when I was in Alabama, it was like, okay, I got to buy this. I got to set up this. I got to do this and I got to do this. And I felt like I was doing it on my own. But then when I got out here to LA and I said, yo, I'm doing a podcast. There's like, oh, it's a podcast studio. You can do this. And then people just started coming around like, yo, I can help you do this. And I can help you do this. And I do this. And I'm like, it's the land of the creatives, but everybody's hustling something. Everybody is hustling something, bro. Like they get into it. And so it's just a different dynamic, man, from the South. You know, the South is, you know, we sit back, we wait for life to happen.
Yeah.
LA, like, yo, we're going to go out here and create life. That's what we're going to do.
They getting it, man.
And man, like, and we're gonna team up with people and we're gonna make it happen.
That's another cultural dynamic too. Like, it's so many people out here hustling, they don't mind partnering. It's like it's enough for everybody to eat. You know what I mean? Tell me this, man. What would you now, say to somebody that's listening, AD, that's probably thinking like, because in the South, you said it. Like, we get comfortable. It's because it's real complacent. You get real complacent. That thing get, you know, I think of it like this. I know my barber. I can get a haircut on credit this week. Walmart 2 minutes away. You know, if I can't get Walmart, I know somebody that's cooking a meal. So you get comfortable in that. But there are people in the South, man, that got big dreams. And for me, I'll say this and I'll let you speak to it. Like, I started feeling like I was in a cage, man. I started feeling like my head was hitting the ceiling, right? And I couldn't go no higher. I couldn't expand. Like, what would you say to a person right now that may be listening and they're thinking, man, I want to make a jump. I want to make a move, but I just don't know how that looks or how I can do that. Or, you know, what encouragement would you shoot to them, man? Just somebody that's thinking that way.
I say this, man. You know, that thought, that fear, that hesitancy is going to always be present.
Wow.
That fear, wait, fear to leave, we're never going to leap.
Wow.
It's, you know, man, and, you know, I don't want to over-spiritualize it, but, man, like, you know, I look at, you know, for me, I looked at Joshua. Mm-hmm. Joshua 1, when God tells him, hey, you know, your servant Moses is dead. He says something, he's like, be strong and be very courageous. Hold on to the laws in which that, you know, Moses has taught you, but be strong and be very courageous. Then, you know, it's just like, you shall lead these people into the promised land that, you know, into the land in which that I promised them, but be strong and be very courageous. And I was like, nowhere did Joshua say he was scared.
Wow.
But so sometimes, even in our lack of acknowledgement of what we, God still knows what we feel, and he knows what's going to be present. And even if you're not scared right now, when you have a desire to do something amazing, or there's a call to do something amazing, God knows, like, fear is going to show up.
Wow.
So let me give you a word before the fear even shows up. And then I looked at the intentionality of that word, man. Courageous. There's no need for courage if fear is not present.
Wow. That's good, man.
It ain't like courage is the courage is not the absence of fear. And people think that it is. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to do it in the face of fear.
Wow.
That's what courage is.
That's good.
I need like when we even look at, you know, when we look at what's that? Because I know it's the Wizard of Oz, the black version, right?
Yeah.
and Cowardly Lion.
Right.
He said, I want courage. It was, he knew the fear. So, like, you know, for anybody that's listening and watching or whatever, man, like, it's like one of those things where if we wait until fear leaves us before we do it. But one of the things that with the lion that we don't, that we don't highlight is that he went the entire movie down a yellow brick road, being chased, singing, being in a little subway, they coming after him. He did all of that in the pursuit of to courage. Gain courage, not understanding that when he got there, what he had did along the journey gave him the courage that he needed.
Wow.
So a lot of times we think that, like, when I get there, then that's when that's going to leave. No, the process of getting there is what's going to get you what you need. And you think it's like arriving. I like fear didn't leave me when I got to LA.
Right.
I'm fearful every day. Man, I got responsibilities, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got bills.
Right.
And I'm, you know, I'm out here and I'm grinding. And not only do I have bills, I have dreams that need to be funded by money.
Wow.
So I'm out here and I'm just like, yo, I'm going to make these connections. I'm going to do what I need to do. Like, you know, one of my friends, man, a preacher friend of mine was laughing at me, dude. Like, he was like, He said, dude, you left comfortability.
Listen.
You had everything. Like, dude, I had a 6-bedroom house, moved my mom, you know, adopted a daughter, my daughter living with me. We on 2 different ends of the house. She ain't got to see me. I ain't got to see her.
Wow.
I left all of that and moved into an apartment.
That's crazy. Which probably, you cost, what I'm like, which probably cost the mortgage.
Man, what it's almost triple my mortgage.
That's crazy.
To be where I feel like God wants me to be.
Wow.
You know, so like, so man, I just tell him, man, like, don't wait until fear leaves you. You're going to have to do it on that pursuit, man, and make that decision. But I say make a wise one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saved up in the process. Like, when I knew, I started selling, like, shoes and, and all, like, my personal collection stuff. I started coming off stuff. I started making some moves and some transitions with my money and things of that nature. So, man, I saved up. But honestly, there is no amount of money that you're going to have that's going to make you feel like you're ready.
Wow.
You can be like, oh, well, I'm going to wait till I get 100,000. And when you get 100,000, you're going to start thinking about, man, I don't know. You see what I'm saying? So I think that we have to really stop making excuses and just lean into it, man. Like, and just say, you know what? Like, I'm gonna do the best that I can.
Yeah.
And save up, like, and do what I need to do. But like, man, you know, like the guy was talking about, like, with, you know, it's making fun of me. Cause, man, I picked up, you know, like, not to pay my bills, I picked up a moving gig, like driving a moving truck.
For real.
Not to pay my bills. I'm doing that to fund the project that I'm working on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my focus. Like, cause I'm like, yo, I'm going to sacrifice now. I'm going to grind. I'm going to make it happen. And then like, yo, and then, I mean, yo, I got YouTube stuff that, like, they like, oh, well, you monetize on YouTube. YouTube don't pay you like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, unless you got millions of followers, and I don't have that yet. You see what I'm saying? So, man, I'm grinding. I'm gonna get it, man, because I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be.
Man, that's dope, man. Listen, I got a heavy subject I want to transition to in a second, but I wanted to ask you this too. So, listen, bro, I'm not much on fashion, right? I'm straight from the country. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get there. So, I just bought my first pair of Jordan 1s, though.
Okay.
I watched the video, you and this guy. I guess he from LA. He had made a video. He drove up to check out your shoes. I'm looking at the shoes. I'm like, I knew I ain't never seen this dude wear the same pair of shoes twice. But I ain't realized, you know, I heard about the shoe store. You know, that was one of your passions, dreams. I heard people talk about that.
Yes, sir.
But I'm looking at the video on YouTube. I'm like, this is crazy. So inspired by that, by a couple people I'm connected to, I was like, man, let me go see how these J's gonna look. I own no Jordans before this. So I step out, man. I got my first pair of ones. Talk to us, man, about the passion behind, like, dude, you got millions of shoes. Like, talk to us about the passion behind the shoe. How did you get into fashion? All those things, man. Talk to us about
that. Yeah, man. Like, you know, man, like, for one, man, shoes are artistic. You know, it's my artistic expression. Wow. You know, man, like, I feel like shoes make the fit. You know, man, like, I've always been in the fashion. My dad was in the fashion. My mom was in the fashion. My mom still is. And so, man, I got it from both ends. You know, like, so growing up, you know, my dad was very, you know, in and out of my life. But when my dad would show up, man, I could not see my dad for a month. Mm-hmm. And my dad would show up, and the first thing he ain't hug me. He ain't, hey, son, I love you. I miss you. First thing he do was look at my outfit. I mean, if my clothes was wrinkled, I get in trouble. My shoestrings was dirty and my shoes weren't clean, I get in trouble. Now, it'd be different, like, if I'm outside hooping. You know what I'm saying? Like, then, you know, that's your hooping shoes. Right. You know, them your basketball shoes, playing around shoes, whatever. But, man, I'm telling you, bro, like, it's just been one of those things that's just been a part of my life forever. You know, like, you know, and it's one of the things that I kind of took for granted. Like, I was like, everybody put on clothes and everybody dress and everybody, you know, but, man, and then I started collecting shoes, man. I literally I think I was probably like 9 or 10.
Wow.
When I started getting heavy into drawing, you know, you mentioned I draw. And so I got heavy into drawing around like 7 or 8, and then I started drawing like cars, but then I would draw shoes, and the shoe that I would love to draw was the Jordan 1 and a Jordan 4. Gotcha. And like, I would draw them, and I would, so how I would do it is that my mom couldn't afford the shoe. So I would draw the shoe that came out. Wow. Like, I would draw it and I put it on my wall. So like that, you know, like I remember the fire red Jordan 4s, I would draw it and then I colored it the same color and I put it on my wall. And I remember I would go to school and people would be like they have them on and be stunting and stuff like that. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I got them. They at home though. You know, I'd be like, yeah,
on
I
your wall.
They'd be like, oh, AD, you got the joke? Yeah, man, I got them there at home. And you know, like they just posted up.
Yeah, you right. Know, literally.
I'm gonna wear them one day. I'm gonna wear them one day. People was like, man, dude be lying. Like, but I had them. I just had them my way. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but man, I just began to love shoes, bro. And like, much like a lot of African American shoe collectors, our stories are very, you know, very similar. You know, when we got older and we start making money, and we got to a place where we could buy those shoes, and we would go back, and we went back, and when they retro, we bought them. You know, we actually bought them. So a lot of your shoe collectors, especially in the African American community, were groomed out of rejection.
Wow.
You know, like what we couldn't get. You know, what we didn't have the opportunity to purchase. Wow. So now, you know, we get a little change, we save up something. You know. Then boom, we feel like, yo, I'm about to jump out here and I'm about to get it, you know? And like, even with that video, you know, like, you know, that video got a lot of scrutiny because, you know, people's like, oh, he a pastor, he doing
yeah.
this, and he doing this, yeah. You know, but like, but what's so crazy to me is, for one, I've been collecting shoes before I became a pastor. That's number one. Number two, I got sneakers in that collection that are older than I am. You know what I'm saying? I got sneakers in that collection that are older than me pastoring. And then, you know, people are like, oh, but, you know, people that knew me were talking about it. And people's like, oh, well, he loves his sneakers. And I'm like, well, if I love my sneakers and I'm selling them,
what is that?
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And then the dude used the title like for clickbait, you know what I'm saying? Buying this number amount of shoes from a millionaire. And then everybody, you know, he a millionaire because he, you know, church and blah, 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 blah. And you know, he asked me, did I want him to change the name? And I said, no, I believe. I was like, you speaking to my future. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, but man, I've always been into it, man. I always felt like, you know, man, if you had a pair of jeans on, you could have a pair of jeans from Walmart, Target on,
right.
You know, and you could have a hoodie from Target, but then you put a pair of J's on, nice pair, you know, shoes, sneakers. It's like, oh, his outfit killing. Really, killing. You know,
just the shoes.
You see what I'm saying? It's the shoes. It's the shoes that makes the difference, man. Like that was a whole commercial. You know, like when Jordan, I think it was like around like the Jordan 4 or 5 or whatever. He was like, you know, people was like, you know, is it the jumper? Is it the fadeaway? Yeah. Is it the
like
dunk?
Commercial
is
too.
It the tongue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the tongue that's out? It's like, no, it's the shoes. It gotta be the shoes. And Spike Lee, it gotta be the shoes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, like that's, you know, like that's how, you know, man. Like from like even when I get dressed now, I get dressed from the shoes up.
Wow.
I decide what shoes I feel like wearing.
That's a fashion point for all of us because I'm total opposite. I picked the shoes last, bro. So y'all, man, all bro, y'all fashion I'm people just, listening, you know, shoe yeah. up, man. That's crazy.
Dude, what's so crazy? My mom's that way. My mom's that way now. Like my mom has, you know, I make sure she's straight.
Yeah.
Man, my mom, man, she got, it's crazy, man. My mama got a sneaker collection that's out this
for
world.
Real?
People just don't know. Yeah, my mama got a hat collection, shoe collection. I like in our family tree, man, like I get that, you know, like we're excessive. Like yeah, you know, like if we like something, we're excessive with it. We're gonna get a lot of that. You know, like I like hats. My mom does church hats. You know, my mom likes shoes. And man, my mom, man, the other day, man, I went back to Alabama, mm-hmm. and I'm taking my mom. So my mom got a pair, you know, Louis Vuitton boots on. You know, people just wow. like, dang, like your mama dripping. Like it's my mama, dog.
Wow,
you know what I'm saying? Like I get it honest.
That's what's up, man. And it's interesting that those types of hobbies or those types of collectible items, like, they could hereditarily be passed down too. And we don't even think about that.
For sure.
You know, when we think about things being passed along, man. Listen, bro, I wanna kind of exit us on this, man. One thing I've admired about you, outside of your fashion, outside of watching you pastor and build a ministry two different times, you know, just kind of following your journey, man, you've done something that I have not been able to grab a hold of. I watched you a couple times. You would take these long sabbaticals. Like you just said, you was off IG for a year. I'm trying to get to an hour. You know what I'm saying? And you was off for a year. I know you used to do the blackout. Y'all used to do the blackout at the church and just everybody go off social media for a while leading up to New Year's and after that. And then, man, I got information, you know, just being connected to people that served at your ministry that, you know, yeah, Pastor AD gone for a couple weeks. Like, he out of here. Like, he gone with the friends, or he gone, you know, we don't know where he at. He's gone on sabbatical. He's shut down. And I've struggled with that. Like, man, I preach, literally, I probably miss one or two Sundays a year. And those two that I'm missing, I'm preaching somewhere else. So I haven't really learned to, and this is the topic that I want to get to protect my mental health like that. And people don't understand this pastoring journey, man. And right now I'm still helping out with the church back home and overseeing that, and then working with a church in a whole nother culture out here in Santa Barbara County, California. And it's just, people don't realize the weight of that. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Now I'm out here by myself. You know what I mean? And it's like the trying to make sure I'm mentally balanced, man. And people think, like, I'm very transparent, so they take like, oh, he talking about that, he gonna be all right. And then here's the other thing, I think, AD, and you can speak to this too. We've made it look easy, so people be like, ah, oh, he good. Watch you come up there on Sunday and kill it, cause that's my call. Like, that ain't me. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the anointing. That ain't me. Cause soon as I get done, I'm at the house thinking about what do I do with my life? So one thing I've admired about you, man, is that I've watched you put first your mental health. And I just want us to have a short conversation about that. Like, is in the Black community, especially, we look at therapy like, nah, I ain't crazy. You know, I don't need to go talk to nobody. I'll figure it out. And then especially as leaders, man, and as entrepreneurs and people with big dreams and big visions, We just live through it and we make it look easy to people, and they don't think that we're going through. So if you will, man, just talk to us for a minute about some things you've done to protect your mental health and some things that people listening, what they can do to protect their mental health.
Man, that's a huge piece. And I think at the foundation of it, so I'll just give you the gist of it, then we can kind of build it up. But at the gist of it, nothing is going to be healthier than you are. Wow. Anything that you lead, nothing is going to be as healthy as you are. I don't care, you know, what you're trying to do. If you are CEO of and you're trying to build a Fortune 500 company, if you are beat down mentally, emotionally, losing your mind, that company is not going to be healthier than you. Mm. And what we try to do, we try to build scapegoats for our emotions. So we create busy work so that we don't look at ourselves to see what needs my attention in me to become better. When you talk about those sabbaticals and those breaks, man, I still pastor pastors, and I have five pastors that I pastor. They pastor great churches. You know, I don't do a lot of advertising and that stuff. Like, I don't, you know, post and be like, oh, me and my sons, and you know, I don't do that. But one of the things, man, that I realized when I came into their lives, all of them individually, none of them took breaks.
Wow.
None of them. Wow. Just like, I'm talking about married, kids, none of them took breaks. And the reason why I made it a point for me to put my mental health first is because of that first foundational point. But then number two, understanding that people find any excuse not to be connected to the church.
Right.
Right. So right. What we're doing is that I think we have a superhero complex a lot of times when it comes to pastoring. So we feel like I got to be here. And if I'm not here, the member's not going to be here. Giving's going to go down. Money's going to fluctuate. Things are going to, and I just got to be present. I got to be here.
Yeah.
Not understanding, man, like my motto is if it's God's will, it's God's bill. So therefore, me being there is feeding my ego more than it's feeding his people.
Wow.
So I have to take the breaks that are necessary for my own mental stability so that I can be what I need to be for the people I need to be it to.
That's good.
And if I'm not that, then after a while, what's going to happen? People are going to start disconnecting from the church because I'm not at my best.
Wow.
So it's either, yo, like, you disconnect because I took a month off, or I take this month off and I come back on fire, rejuvenated, excited about the assignment and ready to keep it going. Or you disconnect from the church because now the quality of leader that I am is not there.
Wow.
And so I had to pick my poison. And I think what I do with my guys is like, yo, and I tell them all the time, you control the climate in your house.
Right.
You know, man, like if you invited me to your crib right now and I walk in, the first thing I do is go to your thermostat and start changing it. You're going to be like,
what you doing,
bro? What's going on, bro? What you doing? And it's the same way with the church. The reason why, like, people could tell you, oh, pastor doing this or pastor out and he taking us about it, is because it became second nature to our church.
Right.
They then knew, yo, you know, come June, you know, pastor taking vacay.
Yeah.
And he not going to be here in June, or he not going to be, or July. He not going to be here in July. And then it'll be another time where like, oh, yeah, he's going to take 2 weeks and he's going to take, a Sunday, or, you know, he may go preach with somebody else, but sometimes he may just be out, you know? And I think that we have to be okay with that and not have that need to always be present, man.
Well, that's good, man. Listen, if y'all listening, I hope y'all really caught the point that my brother was sharing with you, man, that you, if you're not healthy, whatever you're a part of is not going to be healthy.
No.
And that speaks measures to me, man, because we just, like, I got that superhero complex. Like, man, I'm going to press through. I'm going to push through.
We all do.
Yeah.
We all do. And bro, I'm going to tell you the truth. One of the hardest things I had to deal with me moving and letting the church go, when I experienced those deaths, after every death, the following Sunday, I was preaching in the pulpit.
Wow.
I didn't take time off. I was trying to prove to myself that I was okay.
Wow.
And it's that complex, right? Yeah. It's that I'm going to be here. I'm going to press through this. Right. And I believe that at times our own, we say we can persevere through anything.
Right.
Our own perseverance can become our enemy, because perseverance will fight against your need to take the break. Yeah. So we'd be like, I just need to persevere, be strong, and keep going, until one day I got up and I tried to hit that gear to persevere.
Yeah.
And it wasn't there.
Wow.
And man, nothing is more frustrating than knowing that you have the capability to do something, now you don't have the ability to do it.
Man.
It was like, it was taken. It was like legit taken. I would will myself out of bed. I would will myself in the shower. I would will myself to get dressed. I would will myself to go and preach. I would will myself to hug on people. And then when I'm done, be like, all right, made it through. I pushed on through. But man, one day I got up, I was looking for that and I couldn't find it.
Wow.
I couldn't find it, bro. And I felt so depleted. I felt so, man, I just felt like my life was, I was like, man, because my whole life was built on me pushing through.
Yeah.
And it wasn't there. And then now looking back at it in retrospect, it was like God was saying, you didn't take the time. Now I will rob you of the ability to be disobedient.
To make you take the time.
To make me take the time.
Man, it almost sounds like athletes, right? You can speak to this, you're an athlete. I hadn't talked to you since our boy got another ring. So we in there.
Hey, we need to talk about that.
Absolutely. But man, I remember seeing Brett Favre, man, at the end of his career.
Yeah. And
we had seen this gunslinger. People talk about Patrick Mahomes right now. Brett Favre was before that. But man,
you hear me?
That last season with Minnesota, I seen him try to go and take a gear that wasn't there no more. And it was, and that's when he hung it up. And yep. That's what it sounds like, man. And this is the part that's frustrating too for me, is some people won't even notice your gear not there.
Yep. They sure won't.
You'll feel it.
You know it.
You know
you'll
it.
Feel it.
That's the you worst part it. Of it, man. Because people be like, oh, you killed it. Oh, you, but really, because I've been like that. I've been in that space, man. Wheeled my way up there, got up there to say it. And man, felt like when I went home, I was like, man, God, I wasn't even at 50%. But people was like, oh, you killed it. It was great today. And they can't even see that you didn't have the gear, not rested. Just that was good, man. I hope y'all heard that, man. Don't let perseverance become your enemy, because then, man, that's when depression start kicking in, when you got the, like you said, you got the capability, but your ability is not getting you there. Depression start kicking in, getting down on yourself, self-esteem drop. And those are the things that lead us in many communities, man, especially Black community, leads us to that place that we're battling and struggling with mental health. We don't want to get help from nobody because of ego, any of those things. But listen, bro, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for taking the time out.
Man, no problem, bro. No problem, man. I add this to the last thing you said.
For sure.
It's amazing to me that, you know, our boy LeBron, you know, his first year in LA, you remember when he pulled the muscle in his leg?
Yeah.
The groin, right? He pulled that groin, he was out, team went down, you know, and then they said that they hit a point where LeBron could have came back.
Right.
But they decided, no, we're going to keep him out. Because we'll just save it, you know, and we'll just hit it hard next year. Ain't no big deal. When Kevin Durant torn ACL, you know, out, but still number one free agent, even in his injury.
Right.
It's amazing that in sports, your main key player, they will make sure takes the breaks that they need, but will not release him.
But will not.
Wow. Won't throw him away because we know the capability of him.
Yeah.
We, church, is the only organization that will have that key person keep pushing through injury, becoming more injured.
Right.
And not want them to take the break that they need for them to come back stronger than when they left.
Wow.
We the only organization. Only organization.
That play you while you're injured.
Get out there. Bandage it up.
Wow.
You know, like, whatever you got to do.
Man.
Just be here. Show up.
That's a dope analogy, man. That's real life too, man.
Yeah, man.
Play while you're injured.
Man. Man, but that's the mentality in which that we've now just kind of come to. Like, yo, I'm just gonna, you know, we just gonna push through it. And that's not fair.
It ain't fair, man.
It ain't fair, man.
And Bron goes on the next year to win the championship, and KD now coming back and leading the league in scoring.
You see what I'm saying? Like, like their greatness was never in question because they were injured.
Wow. That, listen, man, that's good. If there's no other note to end on, man, that's one right there. I'm taking that, man. Listen, y'all hear that. especially in the arena of church, where we push our leaders, we push our people to serve, to play while they're injured. When if you just accept their greatness and know that if they just rest, they're going to come back even better. And we gotta create that. How does society and professional sports and all these arenas do what the church should already been doing? Listen, AD, again, man, I appreciate you, man. Tell the people where they can follow you at. Let them know some stuff you got going on.
Hey, man, listen, for one, I'm going to tell you, man, appreciate you for having me on, man. You know, it means a lot to me, bro. I thank you for reaching out. But man, everybody can find me on Instagram, Adrian Davis Now, N-O-W. And somebody asked me, somebody was like, why is your name Adrian Davis Now? Like, why is your name Adrian Davis Now? I said, when I was thinking about names, you know, I just didn't want to do my regular Adrian Davis. I really didn't want to do my government. I really didn't do it's Adrian Davis. I am Adrian Davis. Yeah. I said, but the concept of my life is what I'm doing now. Wow. And I feel like, it's been Adrian Davis Now for years, probably like since Twitter was jumping. That's when I first made it. But Adrian Davis Now and everything, man, because it's whatever whatever God has me doing now. I don't want to be in the wasness. I want to be in the isness. But and you can go to my website, www.adriandavisnow.com. Also, man, I got a crazy mentorship program that I'm doing right now called Commas Academy. We got over 200 people that have signed up for it. We actually send out the paperwork and we start up our semester, man, March, first week of March. So, man, rolling with that and really teaching and training people to, you know, passive income, PR, how to create your own self as a personal brand. I'm big on social media and marketing stuff. Some stuff on social media I just teach. I really don't do because I don't even invest in my own social media like that, even though I do have a social media presence. But I allow the company to run my social media. You know, I just create the content and I tell them when to post it and, you know, gotcha. Go at it like that. But yeah, man, Adrian Davis Now on everything, man. So adriandavisnow.com, you can find me there and all of that stuff.
Cool. Well, listen, family, I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for listening to Great Mornings Podcast. Make sure give us a 5-star review. And I know y'all had to enjoy this as much as I enjoyed it. So please make sure you go and give us that review. Share this, copy it, paste it, text it to somebody. Let them know that you heard this episode today about transition in a pandemic. Again, this is Great Mornings Podcast. Y'all know already how we rock. I love you. And remember, no matter what obstacles come your way, it's always, always a great day to be great. Peace.